Good morning. I love the sunshine that welcomes us this morning. It's just so wonderful to be able to just go outside and to feel like you're seeing the hints of spring. You know, it's pretty fun. For whatever reason, I have a rhododendron right in my little yard. And for the past few years, it's been blooming earlier and earlier and earlier. And when it started blooming in February, it was like, wow, this is great. And none of the other people who have rhododendrons had theirs blooming. And I'd see people walking by and pointing to the rhododendrons. Well, this year, in early January, it started blooming. And I counted 30 beautiful blooms on this rhododendron. And I think, Lord, I don't know what that's about. I don't see one other doing the same thing in the neighborhood. But I love it, and I'm blessed by it. It's interesting the little things that might speak to us to encourage us. But personally, that's one for me. I know I love it when I see the tulips coming up and the crocus and the daffodils, all those things. It's like, okay, even if it snows tomorrow, spring is coming. I shared last week how we're making a little bit of a shift. The study this year is on our ever-present help, the Lord, but His presence is with us through His Holy Spirit. And in the first several weeks of our study, we looked at things about Him. It was more of, I would say, an objective view, learning things about the Holy Spirit. But then last week, we just made a little bit of a shift, because I think now what the Lord would have us to do is to understand a little more of how we actually see Him, and even to the subjective response to Him, which is how we feel Him. And so that's where we are, and that's where we're going to be until He shifts the gears again. But I love it, because as we become more and more aware of the Holy Spirit, which I'm praying for all of us, we're just going to be more and more aware of His presence, the reality. He is with us. And it should change our prayers from thinking we're talking to God way up in heaven to realizing that if we only had the spiritual eyes, we could open our eyes and He'd be there. Because the reality is that He is. So my prayer is that we come to that understanding more and more and more. He wants to be known by us. It so blessed me that this past weekend, Pastor Brett's message was right in line with the things the Lord gave me to share last week. I don't know if any, well, I know some of you did, because some of you commented on it to me. But I love it when that happens. And again, you know, the unbeliever might go, what a coincidence. But Pastor Brett has his own little coined word for it, and that is, it's a God-a-wince. And truly, as I heard him teach, as I thought about it later, there was no question in my mind. The Holy Spirit is speaking to this body, not just these women here, but to the body at Athey Creek. He's wanting us to be people who seek Him. And I'm so glad He is one who wants to be sought. We can be asking what His perfect will is. And He's delighted to tell us, because He wants us to know. He doesn't ask us to go bumbling through life, but He promises that He's with us. and that he'll lead us each step of the way. And so when I was thinking about this and thinking about how we had had those messages just right in line with each other, I thought, Lord, I just believe that in your faithfulness, you have a message, and you want to make sure that we get it. And so in tandem with last week's message, Pastor Brett's message this past weekend, we're going to just kind of stay in that direction for yet another week, because I really believe it's what the Lord would have. You know, I meet with a lot of women, and over the years, I cannot tell you how many women, when they come to me for an issue, obviously, that they want to share and talk about, but when I send them out with basically the homework, assignment, direction to seek the Lord, I can't tell you how many respond in one way or another saying, but I mean, how do you do that? And that always amazes me, because we belong to a church that I think consistently teaches that. But I think what it's about is that there's that little insecurity in every single one of us, that we can believe that if a friend said, I'm going to really be seeking the Lord about this, you'd believe it and pray for them. But when you think about seeking the Lord yourself, you can feel inadequate, as if you're on foreign soil. You know, how do you do it? And last week I shared a couple of stories from my own life with you of seeking the Lord, getting his direction. And we're going to revisit those stories, not going through the whole thing again. If you missed last week, I'd ask you, do listen to it online. I'm so glad that those teachings are available for when you aren't here. But I'm going to just be touching on some of the things I believe the Lord would have us to just take another look at and to let him nudge us if it applies to something we're prone to do or we are aware is even part of our understanding of how we do it. I love that when Pastor Brett shared about seeking God, it wasn't some mysterious, hyper-spiritual way of approaching God, was it? It was real practical. And so as we look at it today, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit is going to help us to get it, to be able to leave here and to be able to really believe in our own hearts that we can seek the Lord. We can know his will. And we can have a confidence in seeking him, not because of, you know, how wonderful we are, not because of our track record, not because we've done our daily devotions for 3 days in a row, but because he wants us to seek him. And when we're asking to know his perfect will for our lives, he loves to show us what that is. And so it's based on that that we can have confidence in coming to him and asking for him to reveal things to us. I love the fact that Brett gave what was first seemingly an announcement to our first satellite location and telling us it was going to be Sherwood. And it was after the announcement that he then went into his teaching. And yet I thought, they were really one and the same, because his announcement followed up by seeking God and knowing his will, and the components he gave us to apply when we're trying to do that, we can be sure we're all there when our elders were seeking the Lord about, what do you want for us at Athey? Where would you have us to have a satellite church? You can be sure that they sought the Lord to know his will, and that they used all of the ways that Pastor Brett directed us. Last week when I shared my story, the first story was about a time that I was seeking the Lord, and from my perspective, I had no direction. From my perspective, I was praying for days, well, weeks, actually months, and never getting an answer. But by the time I finished sharing the story, I'm hoping you all saw why I didn't hear the Lord. And that's because I might pray and ask, but when it came to the time to listen, for all practical purposes, I might as well have been going, la, 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 la. Have you ever done that with the Lord? You pray because you know you need to pray about something, but you don't really hear his answer. And this is exactly what I was doing. The second story, again, a decision had to be made. And I actively, expectantly sought him. I journaled the scriptures he gave me. I journaled my thoughts. I journaled my impressions. I journaled the circumstances. And in 1 week's time, it was so clear to me what his will for my life was. And I was blessed. Now, one might think, so is she saying you do something a certain way, and if you're asking him maybe a week later, you're going to have that answer, maybe even the same day, but just make sure to have these things lined up when you're praying. That is not what I'm saying, because there are times that we pray and we're doing all of it right. We're seeking the Lord, but we're in a time of waiting. And in those times, and if any of you are in that place today, don't abandon the praying because you think, hey, I prayed about this for, I mean, a long time. I've been praying 5 days. Don't give up. Even if 5 days were to become 5 months, keep praying. Keep asking the Lord. And trust that even if it takes 5 years, the Lord's going to answer, because that's what he wants to do. So the direction that the Lord, that Brett gave us in seeking God, had three main components. He said the source for how we seek him, for how we get the answer, would be the Word of God, prayer, and godly counsel. So, in revisiting my stories from last week, we'll see how these sources were used or not. The first story was about how I came into the women's ministry. though I was reading the word daily, loved spending my time in prayer. For all practical purposes, during that time, those months of praying, of asking the Lord, who would he have to oversee the women at the Applegate? During that whole time, I was essentially blocking my ears. My eyes were shut as far as receiving scriptures that would lead me to that woman's name. How come? I didn't think I was in rebellion. Why were my eyes closed? Why were my ears blocked? And it's because I was operating on what I shared with you was my theology. Do you remember what it was? You know, if God is calling you to do something, he'll place that desire in your heart. I mean, it sounds so good, and it's so wrong. And because my theology was false, not based on scripture, it's no surprise at all that the conclusion I came to was also false. We need to realize that there are times that we come to the Lord seeking his will. And if we have already false information that's influencing the way we see, the way we hear, we're not going to get a clear answer. And so that's one of the things that we need to ask the Lord about when we're going to be seeking direction, when we're going to be asking him for his perfect will. If we really mean that, we need to also say, God, search my heart. See if there be any wicked way in it, you know, because none of us can trust our hearts. And I believe if at any point I had had the wisdom to pray that prayer, my ears would have been unstopped, my eyes would have been open, because he would have shown me my pride. My pride was in, before I even came to pray to him that first time, my pride was that, well, I already knew part of the answer. So it was like I was coming to the Lord saying, so let me know about this, and you don't have to even go into that because I already know that. And that's not the way to come to God. I thought this sadly ties in perfectly with the fifth point Brett made, which was why we do not seek God. See, I thought I was seeking God, but the truth is, I wasn't. His answer was found in Psalm 10:4. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. Whew, was I ever deceived? Because I could have convinced myself. I said to other women, yes, I'm praying. Yes, I'm seeking the Lord. No name has come, because there were about 10 of us truly praying, asking the Lord, give us a name. Who is this woman? And I was so 100% convinced it definitely wasn't me, because I had no desire, not even the tiniest desire to do it. I knew it wasn't me. So I was praying, I was seeking, but with my eyes shut, my ears stopped. In truth, I didn't want to hear the answer. In fact, do you remember I shared that there was a time that I was running, And I asked, I'm praying, and I asked the Lord, and I said, so Lord, you know, who would that woman be? And I did have the impression that he told me it was to be me. And because that did not line up with my theology, I knew that couldn't be God. And so who did I ascribe those words to? Satan. That is how confident I was, how prideful I was. And again, that is the bottom line. It was my pride. So yes, I was praying. But you know what I was really doing when I was praying? I was treating God as if he were part of the team. In other words, there were 10 of us praying, but he was part of that team. Do you know that's not the way you come to the Lord? He is not a team member. We don't ask for his opinion. And for all practical purposes, I wouldn't have seen it that clearly, but looking back, absolutely, that's what I was doing. It was like, so Lord, who would you say? You know, I value your input. Who would you say should be the woman? That is not the way we go to the Lord. That's not the way we ask him to show us his will. The truth is, we need to come to him with a blank slate. I've shared, you know, how women tend to have scripts, and unfortunately, we carry those scripts into our prayers too. We are not to have a script formed, created by us. We're to lay our scripts aside. God is the one to fill in the blanks, not us. So keep that in mind. You do not come to God for his opinion. You don't treat him like one of the team. You go to God because God is God Almighty. And you're not asking for his thoughts, his opinions. Isaiah 55 tells us that his thoughts are what? In line with ours? No, his thoughts are higher than ours. The best way we can come to the Lord when we're seeking him for his will is to know we know nothing. And to listen, to be quiet, to read the word, to let him speak. But don't go to the Lord just thinking you already have certain facts that you do know. You do have certain information. That isn't the way to go to him. Because like in my situation, you may well discover that you know nothing. It's curious that even though I truly had zero thought, zero desire to oversee the women's ministry, the one thing I really did seek him on regarding that was, what did he want for the women's ministry, you know, in general? So it's like, you know, I had shared that I never went to the meetings and all of that. So it wasn't like I was interested in that part, but on the level of what would be the heart of the women's ministry, you know, for whatever reason, that I did care about. That I did go to the Lord about. I did ask him about. And I talked with him enough about that, reading the word, that I do, or did even then, believe that I heard clearly. He wanted the heart of the women's ministry to be Titus 2, older women coming alongside younger women. And the whole time that I was praying, also for who he'd have, this ran alongside it. And this part touched my heart deeply. And so that was the very thing he used that prompted me to call the gal to share this part that then led to the next step. So, in other words, he took the one thing I received, you know, willingly, openly, I received from the Lord regarding the women's ministry. And that was the very thing he used to put me in motion to get there. Because if you recall, that was the reason why I contacted Pastor Abb. I wanted to just share with him my convictions about what would be so important for the future women's ministry at the Applegate. And we had quite a long meeting, and I shared with you how it ended with him asking me, would I set aside a big block of time to do nothing but seek God on who that woman would be? And so I thought that was a curious thing to ask, but I said that I would. And I didn't mention this either, but there were two other elements, and that is to have a block of time where there'd be no interruptions, I would go to a motel for the night. I mean, that's pretty serious seeking in my mind. And he asked, would I like someone to go with me? And he was referring to his wife, Sarah, who was a friend of mine, but not a close personal friend. But I knew her and liked her, knew she was trustworthy, knew she was a godly woman. Now, of the three components Pastor Brett shared regarding this seeking experience, that was the one that rang true. That was the one that was valid. And that is partnering with a person who is godly, who knows the word. That might be a pastor. That might be a very trusted friend. But you go for that, whatever they would share with you, and you give it great weight. So at least I had one out of three. I thought I had three out of three, but I had one out of three. So I picked her up and we went to the motel like at 5 in the evening and got set up in our room. And we agreed that we weren't even going to speak to each other. We weren't going to talk. We were going to start in prayer together, but then separate. And we would have no further conversation until we were leaving. Pretty good for two women. And so we started out in prayer, then went our separate ways in the room. And you know what's so funny? To this day, when I try to picture that room, I couldn't tell you where Sarah was and where I was. It's so weird. It's really funny. It's like my mind cannot bring that time back together visually. And that's how far away she felt, how separated we were. And we said not a word. I did seek the Lord. I did pray. But even then, what I was doing when I was seeking the Lord, and it was in earnest, I really believe it was, I was asking the Lord, you know, tell me what you want in this woman. And so I'm journaling and journaling the things he would want in a person who was overseeing the women. What were the qualities? What would be the patterns that you'd see in her life? Those things were coming to me. I was all over the Word journaling the things as he told me. As we got into the car to head home the next day, which was later on in like 11 o'clock, I said to Sarah, I do feel the Lord spoke a lot to me, but still no name. Sarah said, as I'm driving out, Judy, I know you're not gonna like this, but I really, really believe that you're that person. I felt betrayed. So when we got back to the church, because I had basically agreed, but of course believing I'd know the outcome, that we would share with Abner what we settled upon. When we told him, Abner said, well, let me take this to Pastor John. Let me ask him. Ooh, that was getting a little close. So I asked, you know, kind of added it on. But be sure you tell him that there's no part of me that wants to do this. Because see, in my mind, again, my theology, that would be the clincher. If for no other reason, John would go, oh, okay then, we'll find someone else. I went home, and later that afternoon, I told you, Pastor Ab called me to tell me my name had been approved. He wanted to pray for me. I needed the prayer. I told you how I literally fell to my knees, tears running down my face, tears because it seemed so irreversible. It seemed so completely inconceivable to me that this was the outcome. This was the direction I would now be going in. It was beyond me. I couldn't have dreamed, while all of these things are going around in my head and in my heart, while he's praying, that less than 10 minutes later, I would be talking to the Lord with joy and anticipation at what he wanted to do. And as I said, what happened there? One thing. I had said yes to the Lord. And guess what? He changed my heart. And I'm so glad he did. Because 33 years later, I can say there has not been one day, I don't think 1 hour, that I have not loved being, having this privilege, able to come alongside women. That's what he did. So, the one thing I love, and if there would be one phrase I learned that came out of that time, was, no that you don't know. That is incredibly important. I wasn't really asking. I wasn't really seeking. I wasn't really knocking. I thought I was. But I was doing it through the lens of thinking there were things I already knew. The truth is, I knew none of it. Now we fast forward to our second story. At this point, I had been, and I want to say very happily, serving, overseeing the women at the Applegate Christian Fellowship for 20, well, just short of 20 years. I had never had one thought of leaving there. I'd lived in the Rogue Valley for 35 years. I loved it. I was very happily rooted there with never a thought of leaving. Then I received a call, and it was an invitation to come to Athey, to move to Portland. It started out with a regular conversation, and then the question was, have you ever thought of moving to Portland? And I immediately said, no, because that was the truth, never a thought. And it was only as our conversation went on, and it would come back to that question, and each time I answered it the same, no, that finally the reason for the question was made known. And so I told them that all I could say is I would pray, and I'd get back to them in a month. My thought was that it would take at least that long for the Lord to speak to me. And at the starting point of that seeking the Lord, I laid certain ground rules for myself, and I shared those too. See, my desire this time around was to keep my hands off. You know, let's see what the Lord wants, because I did know that all I wanted was His will for my life. And that's what I wanted to hear. So I wasn't going to be asking friends or family members for their thoughts. This wasn't something to be voted on. It wasn't to indulge myself in some of my questions regarding, you know, but if I moved up here, where would I live? Or would I rent, would I buy? Where would I live, and what of these little areas would be the place? Not even going there. Just one thing I need to know, God. What is your perfect will for me? Because that's what I want. The very first morning, the next day, that I started seeking the Lord, as I told you, the Lord started speaking to me. He gave me four very clear scriptures, one very strong impression. And that went on day after day after day. The scriptures were literally pouring in. The impressions were all going in one direction. There wasn't conflict, no contradiction. And the direction was pointing north. It was so clear to me that 1 week later, to the day that I had received the invitation, I knew the Lord was moving me to Portland. He was sending me to Athey, and I could hardly wait. I remember when I went to make the phone call, literally my hand was on the phone, still not cell phones for me. Hand was on the phone, and the thought came, it's only been a week, you told them a month. You need to seek the Lord more. And my hand, I thought, no, I don't. I know what God wants. And I picked up the phone, and here I am. I tell you these stories because, again, I'm hoping it's going to be like a sandwich. You know, I shared part last week. Then we had what Pastor Brett shared. Now I'm sharing yet another layer. I am hoping that each one of us will know that we know how to seek the Lord. We won't wonder if we're able. We're going to know that we can. And that's why I am sharing the details, a little bit more of the details. And so this next part is just more about how it looks. You know, how did it look when I was seeking God? How would it look for you? And your way doesn't have to match mine. You know, we're all different personalities. I love to sit at length with a Bible on my lap, talking to the Lord, a journal at my side. I love to do that. Some of you aren't that comfortable. But you do, if you're seeking the Lord, if you're wanting to know His will, you have to be willing to come against your own personal quirks, to do what He would have you to do so that you can hear His voice. So the three sources Brett shared, again, we're going to touch on those lightly, the Word of God. And I love the fact that a couple of weeks ago, the Holy Spirit had put it on my heart to share the importance of being in the Word of God every day. And when that kind of clicked, I thought, do you think the Holy Spirit knew the direction He was taking us in? You know, that's a joke. He knew. But I love the fact that we talked about that. So I don't have to revisit that other than to say, you need to read the Word every day. You need to hear what He's saying. So when you read, and you read with the idea that He does want to speak to you. And I'm talking about just daily reading. He does have things He wants to say to us every single day. And I talked about underlining and circling and doing whatever kind of marks you might want to do, but that help you to identify what He's saying to you. The second thing is prayer. And prayer is a time for both speaking to and listening to the Lord. You pray for specific needs, specific situations. It's not a time that you're rushed. And as I've told you, I know some of us say our best prayers in the shower or in the car, and it's not that those are not valid prayers. God listens. God cares. God answers. But I believe we should find a way to incorporate into our time, and again, this is just daily, the daily reading of a prayer time that's not on the go, you know, but a time where we sit, where we listen for His responses. So that's for our daily lives. But what about when there is a specific thing that we are asking him for, we're seeking him about, something where we want to know God's will? Well, it's all of the above. It's all the same things that you do every day already, only much more of it. You know, you give each more time. And I do love the thought of carving out a chunk of time where you are free from distractions. You know, you put your phone away. It's a time that you're not going to have, you know, people barging in. But you seek the Lord. And as I say, for me, it's with my Bible open. I'm asking him to lead me. And sometimes the way he does that, if I don't feel I have a direction, and I'll say, Lord, please just lead me. And the Bible's open. Where would you have me to read? He might bring a story in the Bible to me. Oh, okay, I think I can find that. Or it might be a story I really love, like the book of Ruth. It might be a verse. It might be a location in the Bible. Remember Jeremiah 10:23? By the way, oh, I'm so glad I thought of this. I found out that last week when I was telling that part of the story, Rena looked down on her watch just because I'd mentioned time. You know how you do that. 10:23. Isn't that fun? I mean, I don't know what that's about, but I do think it's fun. So you go to the Lord for the extended time. You journal every single thing you feel he's giving you. And when you journal a scripture, don't just journal the address, but write out the scripture. There's something about that. I know for me, as I'm writing, sometimes I'm getting even more out of it. Or in writing it, he's leading me to another word. But the thing that I love is what he's speaking to us, he'll confirm to us. And we might hear the same message in the sermon that week, or to even a sermon we're listening to on the radio, in a praise song, in a card from a friend. But the message will be the same. And the reason you're getting it is because you're on alert. You know, you're listening. You're watching. You want to hear. Brett had shared from Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks sees, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Brett shared that in the Greek, and I meant to ask Amy because I thought she'd know this. I think what he said is that it's written in the imperative tense. Is that right, Elaine? Do you know? I don't know. But anyway, what that means is the way we read that, it would be ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. God will answer. Don't worry in these things. Brett says, we can count on God for answering. Why? Because the Bible says so. And he gave several scriptures, which I was going to share, but I see the time, so I'm going to just say, you listen to Brett's message again. See those scriptures because I love them. I especially love the last one I had written, Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I love his promise that as we call out to him, he will answer. And as I said, that answer may take hours or days, months, possibly years. Be willing to wait. Habakkuk 2 says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. This is why I love to do the journaling part. That he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And I thought, you know, what does that mean? First saying, though it tarries, wait for it. But then again in the last verse saying, it will not tarry. I believe that when we have the vantage point of answered prayer, we can look back on those times that we prayed and had to wait. And maybe we sought the Lord and prayed for what seemed a very long time. But when the answer came, we realized it was the perfect time. He may have been working other things all to be part of that answer. Everything had to be in place. So trust him. Isaiah 30 says, the Lord longs to be gracious to us. Therefore, he waits. Realize that sometimes his waiting is wrapped up in his love for us. It's not, well, I wonder how long she'll pray, you know? It's the answer's on its way, but you're gonna have to wait a little while. One last scripture in closing, Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. The Lord wants to reveal his will to us. He wants to give us the insight and the understanding we need for each day. Our kind and loving Heavenly Father invites us to come to him, to ask, to seek, to knock. But he wants us to come to him asking with a certain expectation he will answer. Let's pray. I thank you, Lord, that truly you are a God to be found. One of the scriptures Pastor Brett shared, seek the Lord while he may be found. Thank you, Lord, that you are near, that you love us, you love spending time with us. And Lord, when we're asking for your perfect will, you are happy to show us what it is. You are happy to lead us to its fulfillment. Lord, you know where each one of my sisters is this day. And there could be many here who even today are in that place of longing to hear you regarding a specific subject, a specific decision. Father, I know you're going to bring the information to her. I know that you want to share scriptures, speak to her heart. Confirm your word. Let her trust that you will do it. In Jesus' name, amen.